Welcome to Auction Talk. Your host is Greg Story, longtime member of the National Auctioneers Association, an accredited auctioneer in real estate and president of Hart G Auction Service. Now, here's Greg.
Welcome to this edition of Auction Talk. Today, I'm going to get into estate auctions. Estates can be one of the most stressful things in the world for people to settle. They've just lost a loved one, and they're in mourning. And they're trying to get through all the legalities as well as dealing with family members. At some time, we've all been or will be in this type of situation. And if you've ever lost a family member that didn't have everything spelled out in a will, it can be a total nightmare. I've seen family members come in like greedy dogs and tempers flare. You often end up with hurt feelings and sore spots that never heal. More families have been torn apart never spoken to each other again because of fights over estates than anything else. If you've ever been through it, you'll know exactly what I mean. Anyway, where the typical family problem occurs is over items such as furniture, collectibles, artwork, jewelry, vehicles, and things such as tools. A smart estate planner lists the large items in their will, and then in most states you can have a handwritten attachment listing the dispersal of the little items. This varies from state to state, so be sure to check with an attorney to see how this is done in your area. One mistake I have personally seen is when a person tells interested family members to come in and put their name on items they want. Sounds simple, but it isn't. Probably the worst case I ever saw was when a family member literally put a tag with their name on every single item in the person's house. Not trying to sound critical, but so many times people will get greedy if they can get something for free, even if they don't need it. Or in one case, I saw a daughter tell her mom she had to have an item because she wanted to sell it. She didn't remember that mom needed to sell things to have money to live on. Once, the day before an auction, there were three sisters screaming and fighting over their dad's big shop toolbox. The auctioneer broke up the fight and gave them each a bidder's number so they could bid on it the next day. He purposely started the bidding at only $20, and none of the girls bid. The toolbox ended up selling for $155. The daughters wouldn't bid because they couldn't get it for free. This greed doesn't always wait until the loved one is lost. I've seen siblings get into fights over who gets an item that a person just doesn't use anymore. So how do you avoid all this and easily settle an estate? Well, if an item isn't specifically set down to be left to someone, an auctioneer that specializes in estates will tell you to sell it. I would never suggest that no one keeps things of sentimental value. But when the trouble arises between a couple of relatives, put the items in the sale pile. If they really want it, they can buy it. So basically, you're going to call an auctioneer to help you and liquidate the estate. Undoubtedly, they will first tell you to pull out the things that are spoken for, and then he'll sell the rest. Again, it sounds simple. I must mention that often families will go in and start picking through all the good items, and then they'll be told by the auctioneer that there's not enough left for an auction. They'll end up giving it away, or worse, throwing away a major part of their loved one's life, and that's a lot more stressful than selling it. This is a very emotional time, and not only are you not thinking clearly, but you don't know the value of items, or what's more, what will sell. I once saw a person toss out two pairs of rare spurs that would have brought $1,500 to $2,000 when cleaned up, just because they thought they were junk. As I said, the simple answer is when doing an estate, you take out the treasures and mementos and sell the rest. Of course, like I've said, it's not that simple. When dealing with estates, you have to look at the courts and probate. In most states, if there's real estate involved, you have to open probate, and a judge will appoint an executor. Even when it's set down in the will, who will handle those duties? Rarely does a judge not appoint the person that was stated in the will. In some states, however, the executor must reside in the state where the estate is located. Or they can still be appointed executor if the court feels they are qualified. Depending on the estate and how the will is written, you may not have to open probate. So, consult an attorney first. One item that can cause quite a few problems are vehicles. In many states, if you can't find the title, and there hasn't been any changes to the title in, say, 7 years, you have to sell it without a title, because the state has purged the title. The buyer will have to post a bond, sometimes even two bonds, and have the vehicle inspected and a new VIN number issued before they can title them. So these are the things that your auctioneer will have to iron out beforehand. Even with a title where the owner has passed away and theirs was the only name on it, you'll need a copy of the death certificate and possibly a form something like a small estate affidavit, along with the title for the buyer to be able to register the vehicle. This is just an example of the many technicalities that are part of liquidating an estate and are best left to a professional auctioneer. So you've decided that it's too much for you to do and you're looking for an auctioneer to do the estate sale. How do you find one? The most obvious place to look is in the Yellow Pages for some local auctioneer. But there are more modern spots to look, such as the internet. A good place is your state auctioneers association or the National Auctioneers Association's website. Look for an auctioneer that specializes in estates. Once you contact them, ask questions. Ask a lot of questions. You want to ask about all the little details, such as if they record and film their auctions, and will copies be made available to them after the sale. This will eliminate many problems or questions that may arise in the future. Will you get a copy of the clerk sheets as soon as the sale is over? How soon will they settle the auction? Who will clean up the sale site and haul off items that don't sell, or stuff that people left? In any estate, the smaller items take the most labor and bring the least amount of money. If some of your family wants to help in order to save on labor, are they reliable? I've seen nieces and nephews that were anxious to help and were supposed to show up at 7 a.m. the day of the auction. They'll stroll in at 8:30 with donuts and coffee, unaware of the work involved in getting things hauled out and set up the morning of the sale. This can be catastrophic to an auction. What can often be a major drawback, as I have stated, family members don't know the value of items, or they don't think they will sell and often cost the estate money. We've all heard stories of some person that buried money in their backyard, and we often write these stories off. But auctioneers will tell you that valuables are found in freezers, under the loose carpet in a bedroom, taped to the underside of dresser drawers, under a false floor in the attic, and recently a friend of mine found thousands of dollars in a box behind a panel in the bedroom wall. Anyway, does the auctioneer that you've called, do they take credit cards? This can sometimes drastically increase the bidder's activity and the bottom line. So what is the internet presence of the auctioneer and his company? How many daily hits does his website get? You may be dealing with a small town company that gets a couple of thousand hits a day, or a big city company that only gets a couple of hundred. It can make a big difference when drawing in bidders to your auction. Along with that, how and where on the internet will your auction be promoted? There are so many different places, and the auctioneer should be able to give you an idea of how many people will actually view your auction on the web. I once saw a small town company have almost 9,000 viewers look at a seller's antique car on one site alone. if you have a number of valuable antiques, coins, or such? Does the auctioneer have the ability to hold the auction live on site, plus live over the internet simultaneously? This can easily bring in buyers from other states and countries, if you have the right merchandise. When discussing the advertising budget, the auctioneer is the expert on what newspapers and radio stations have been bringing in the best results. But it's still nice to have a couple of different choices on where to spend your money. So a professional auctioneer will have at least two options for you to choose from. How will the auctioneer handle the rare or unusual items that you may encounter? Will they contact collectors' clubs? Or in one case, even send out emails and mailings to every Model T club in North America for that fully restored car that your loved one spent so much time on? If there are firearms involved, this can be a major headache in itself. When the sale of guns is not handled properly, the auctioneer and even the seller can face federal firearms charges. Yes, I said the seller. There was a case in Colorado where the auctioneer and the seller were both brought up on 37 counts of illegal firearms transfers just because the auctioneer wasn't a professional. They didn't do their job. Those old antique metal toys cannot be sold as toys, by law, because they may contain lead-based paint. However, they can be sold as collector's items. Just recently, a new federal law has outlawed the sale of the old-style baby cribs with the drop sides. These can no longer be sold by stores or even individuals at yard sales or auctions. If you're going to offer the real estate at auction, is the auctioneer licensed to sell real estate? And remember, the real estate portion has a complete set of issues that need to be addressed also. I discuss selling real estate at auction in a show by itself, but it's definitely something to consider. These are just a few of the many details that need to be ironed out before ever hiring an auctioneer to sell your loved one's estate. So, it's finally auction day. Emotions and tensions are running high within the family. I personally have given family members some of those throwaway cameras to give them something to do, and it may settle them down. One thing you need to remember, I know you're selling your loved one's treasures that have so many memories that they should be worth a fortune because of the sentimental value. But to almost all the buyers, it's just stuff. So settle down. Don't concentrate on what things are bringing. It's a good time to sit in the shade and reminisce with friends and neighbors. Keep yourself available for questions that may come up on certain items from the crowd, and be totally honest when answering. A couple of $100 are not worth your reputation. An estate auction is never a fun experience for sellers, but a bad auctioneer can leave scars and bitter feelings that will never heal. A good, understanding, and professional auctioneer can make the experience what it should be. A professional auctioneer knows he has but a few hours to sell someone's life, and he takes it very seriously. So always be sure to hire the best professional you can. It's something families have to get through with as few problems as possible so they can go on with life and remain a close-knit family with only pleasant memories of their dear departed. Thank you.
2,000 dollar bid, now 3,000, now 4, 35, now 4, 4,000, now 5, and he played out, I got 5,000 back here, now 6, $5 bid, now 6, 55, now 6,000, yeah, 6,000 over here, now 6.
We thank you for tuning in to Auction Talk. Email your auction questions to Greg at HartG@CenturyTel.net or call 719-384-4797 or go to HartG.com and click on the Auction Talk radio tab. Tune in next time for Auction Talk.
$8,000.